and welcome to United Way Cares on KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio. Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. My name is Tracy Tomaszewski, and I'm on the board of directors for United Way Battlement to the Bells. United Way Battlement to the Bells' mission is to improve lives by mobilizing the caring power of communities throughout the Roaring Fork, Crystal, and Colorado River Valleys, from Battlement Mesa to Aspen, and to advance the common good for all, focusing on education, financial well-being, and health. We work to support local nonprofits through funding and now with the United Way Battlement to the Bells AmeriCorps Vista Project. To learn more, please call 970-625-8189 or visit unitedwaybb.org. Before we get started with our show today, I want to remind everyone that we are in the middle of our KDNK membership drive. To make a donation, call 970-963-0139, or you can log in to kdnk.org. We appreciate all of your support. Today I have Jill Pigcock and Maribel Obreque with me from ARC of Central Mountains. Hello.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
Thank you both for coming in today. It's so nice to have live radio again
nice.
And see the folks I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. So tell me a little bit more about ARC of Central Mountains.
Thanks, Tracy. Again, my name is Jill Pidcock. I'm the executive director for the ARC of the Central Mountains. We are here today to talk about our nonprofit and some of the things we've been up to, how COVID has changed things in our world and things to come. So the ARC of the Central Mountains promotes and protects the human rights of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities while actively supporting their full inclusion and participation in the community throughout their lifetimes. That's our mission statement. So what does that mean? That means that we are here to support people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And we do that in a couple of different ways. Our program really has, I could say it's three-pronged. One is public policy, which as the session begins later this fall, we certainly get very active in whatever bills may be surrounding those people that we support. And that also includes a lot of those educational bills. So we get really busy with that. Also, outreach and education. This is part of our outreach, so we're able to come today, which is terrific. But most importantly, we do advocacy, and we do advocacy from a lifespan. So from birth throughout their throughout people's lives, whether that becomes what they do for professional or where they're going to live, how they're going to access community. And again, that's where that full inclusion comes in with community-based. And predominantly, our advocacy really is the majority is really in that school setting. And for those of you who may not be familiar with what that looks like, that's usually people who, children who are in special education. If you've heard the phrase IEP, which is an individualized education program, also a 504 plan. So that's through the American with Disabilities Act. So that's the people that we support in our community from the disability standpoint. We support four different mountain counties. One is Lake County, so up in Leadville. Also Eagle County, all of Eagle County. Pitkin County, so that's, of course, Aspen, and then all of Garfield County. So I like to say that we have our bookends of being Leadville and Aspen, and then we have Eagle County and Roaring Fork Valley, or the Garfield County as being our middle section. So those are the counties. It's a pretty big geographic
that
area.
That is enormous.
Yeah.
That is absolutely enormous. So Maribel is with us today also, and your primary role with ARC of the Central Mountains is to help do the outreach with our Latino community as well. Is that correct?
That's correct. A little of everything. but primarily our Latino families coming in, whether it's just them getting a diagnosis and trying to navigate this new world, or families that are further along within the education system, mm-hmm. and just really letting them know what their rights are as a parent, how to empower them, and what resources are available in the community for them.
And oddly enough, I met both of you lovely ladies when I was working as a special educator, and I still do moonlight some as a special educator, but and we had pretty intimate, I guess, exchanges because our children were all involved in this same process. And you are very well-informed advocates. It's exciting to see that you're a part of this organization doing this important work. It's really exciting. I couldn't think of two better people, actually. So, the enormous footprint, how do you manage that?
Well, before COVID, we did a lot of driving.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
After COVID, we've done a lot of Zoom meetings just like everybody else. And that actually has been a challenge for us as well. We really do like to work one-on-one and in person and be able to establish those relationships really in a much more personal way. Mm-hmm. But I think we've found where that technology, we can still develop those relationships fairly well. But that we really have spent most of our time, most of our meetings online and remotely. We did not stop with COVID when COVID started. We're very fortunate that we have a small enough office. And we did lose 25% of our funding right off the bat, but got real busy writing grants and got very fortunate not to ever close our doors or even stop or even shorten our days. And believe me, families needed our support with all this going
Absolutely,
on.
So, they did.
And I just want a little plug for Maribel. Yes, she does help with our Latino community for sure. However, she can't go anywhere, so nobody can get any idea of trying to steal her away, poach her away from me. She is really our business manager as well as our lead navigator for families. And today, as a matter of fact, she helped someone who's moving to our community that's 32 years old. So,
I love it.
It's really across the spectrum, but she literally across the spectrum. But she, that's my little plug for her. But what would you say about how we serve our communities best?
Well, I will tell you a silver lining with COVID is we had more families have questions as far as the school system. So we did get we have been fairly busy.
Right.
So it's been great to have those families come in that I think otherwise would have maybe not have reached us or fallen through the cracks, and for them to really be integrated in part of their communities at schools. But really on any given day, it really depends on who we have a call. You know, this family, for example, they're moving from Kentucky to Colorado. And then we also have families that just got newly diagnosed and they're saying,
right,
am I doing everything that I can for my child? Or,
and how do I advocate?
And how do I advocate? Yeah.
That's so big. I think that's a missed opportunity, right? People didn't even know that they were missing. And because of COVID, they reached out and they learned a lot more about the resources in the community. I think that's amazing. I know we've all had to pivot, and telehealth has become a thing, and those services make everything feel and look very different. But there's a recipe for success in there. You just have to keep trying. And it sounds like you guys have really kept trying. So 25% reduction right off the bat.
Yep.
That hurts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got a little scary.
I remember you contacting me. I was still working for United Way at the time and thinking, gosh, we're all in the same boat.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
How do we dig out of here? So you ended up finding some grant money, mm-hmm, and you're moving forward. Mm-hmm. What is new?
What is new? Well, I think really what happened for us was that we still have been doing and serving in the same way that we always have. As I said, those three, kind of that three-pronged approach of what our services are. But with COVID, we really did pivot, and it became much, our scope of work broadened of who we were assisting, how we were assisting folks. And again, because of that, we probably met people that we would not have ever met before that time. So I don't know that there's anything specifically new, except that we're trying to do things in a new way, I guess is what I would say. We'd still like to be doing much more of our outreach, you know, doing more of those workshops and in person, mm-hmm, because I think that still is very dynamic in how people participate.
Well, and in this community, I feel like, especially in this special education, special needs, developmental delay, they find their community is in that in-person, mm-hmm, hey, we met at this workshop.
Yeah.
So I hear what you're saying.
I would agree, but I do think that, and it's been a very odd thing with all the school board meetings that I've attended and all of the other types of meetings across the state, there has been a larger participation level Whether that's from a professional standpoint or from a community standpoint, I have seen many more participants that have been online, you know, watching those school board meetings, for example. And
right.
So I think that people are, and of course, just like everybody else, we probably pack way more meetings into a day than we probably needed to. That drive time maybe was a blessing that we didn't know. But I would say that we are expanding out and, you know, really our membership drive. We haven't really had a chance to really build our membership drive. And that's, we really are a membership organization. And so that's one of our future projects, is to be able to bring in more community members and more families into that structure. So that's one of the things that we are working on internally. So that's one of those things. I think that advocacy piece will always be there no matter what, and we tend to put those fires out pretty quickly. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the cafecitos that we're thinking of
doing. Right. So one of the great things about, you know, being virtual is we've been able to observe a lot of the trends. And with that, we've been able to see what families are wanting, some questions that they have. So one of our upcoming projects is going to be cafecitos, or office hours, if you will, where it really will be a support group model, and maybe is introduce resources within the community for families. Right now, it's being geared towards Spanish-speaking families, but our hope is that in the future we will do something similar for our English-speaking families, where we have office hours as well, and families that may not, clientele that we may not necessarily work with at the moment can come in and they can get their questions answered as far as what is an IEP or
right. What
is going on here? Can you clarify this? So again, going back to trends and really responding to community's needs and seeing what they're wanting right now.
That's amazing. That's a great shift.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really keeping the pulse on the community and what the community actually is needing and responding to. So you say that you're wanting to put together a membership drive. Mm-hmm. I know that other ARC programs are affiliated with thrift stores. Is that something that you all are moving towards, or is that where you took your major cut?
No, actually, let me just take a minute and back up and kind of explain that structure. That would probably be a good thing. Way back when, about the same time that Special Olympics began, there was another group of parents that really wanted to advocate for their children within the school system, and they wanted to get away from the segregation that their children were experiencing, and they wanted to be sure that their children had a future that was built on inclusion into community and into the schools as well. And so that became the ARC US. And so the ARC US is an organization that we are affiliated with. And then there are 15 chapters of the ARC in the state of Colorado. We are the 15th chapter. But we all are our own separate 501c3. Thank you.
Yeah.
501c3. Math was never my thing. And so we have our own board of directors here in our community, when we have our own bylaws and such. So the relationship with the ARC thrift stores is that I call us kissing cousins. So we're not really related to them at all.
Okay.
However, the ARC thrift stores were developed and originally began because, again, another group of parents, because parents are so powerful, thought, well, we don't want the chapters to be worried about how they're going to fundraise while they're trying to advocate for our children. And so instead of having to have that be our major thrust as fundraising, because you know, nonprofits, that's kind of the name of the game, the ARC thrift stores came into existence in an effort to create an allocation for us. So we are very, very fortunate in our state of Colorado, that we are part of an allocation fund that comes from the ARC thrift store organization. So we're very, very supportive, and we feel very strongly about ARC thrift stores. The newest one, closest one to us, is over in Grand Junction now. It's my understanding that they're going to be opening 3 more stores, one of which, and then the next phase after that 3 stores should be somewhere, maybe it's between Delta or potentially Rifle or Glenwood Springs. I keep pushing it because I think that that's a great thing. So it's truly, any donations to go to ARC Thrift is a great, great benefit to us down the line, but it's more of a kissing cousin
thing. Gotcha. Thank you for explaining that. I think that there probably is some confusion.
I have had people drop things off, or wanting to drop things off to
you know,
donate.
I've had that experience as well. So I've sent these lovely ladies prompts, and I'm going to just go ahead and take the wheel here and go ahead and say it's so fun to see you both, because when I met you both, you were in a very vulnerable place. Mm-hmm. At different stages and at different places with your children, and not really knowing what was your role, what was going to happen with your child, feeling insecure about that. And today I have two warriors, like just absolute awesome advocates in front of me. And I'm just so proud of you both. I really am. It's so amazing. So my heart has always been with special education. And you guys have come into it because of your children. And now you've really taken the lead and you've become these advocates in our community. And I'm just so impressed with both of you. So, yay and bravo. What are the ways that you guys are fundraising in the coming months?
Well, we always take donations. We're always open to that donation piece of it anytime, any place. So that's we can talk about that later on the website, of course, or you can call us.
Go ahead, tell us now.
So go ahead. This is your deal.
Yeah,
business manager.
Anyone wanting to make a donation or find out more information about the ARC, our website is ARC. centralmountains.org, and right there on the homepage we do have a donate now button, and our hope is that, you know, now that we're pivoting back to kind of, you know, not quite pre-COVID, but you know, that we will be able to get back to fundraising and getting some programming together around fundraising.
Excellent. And how would we reach you if we needed to call you?
So easiest way, it would be to call our office. And the same thing, if a parent has a question or they're wanting to find out more information about a service or a resource, our number is 970-456-2065.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you. I know a lot of families don't necessarily have the time or the internet connectivity that we somewhat take for granted. So I think it's always important to offer that phone number as well. So I want to know, you both have been with ARC of the Central Mountains for a bit now. What is a story both of you could perhaps share with me of one of your favorite stories, perhaps?
Why? Let's see. I think for me, it was one of the first clients that I got to know when I came into it. Jill was pretty established with her clients, and I was going in there and helping, you know, either interpret or just really break down information for families. But there is a mom that stands out to me. She's actually on a parachute. Her son is an amazing kiddo who's wanting to get into either architecture or welding. He's 16. But it was really great to just have that heart-to-heart with her. And I think we had an IEP meeting, and at the end, they just stopped and they said, you know, you're doing amazing job. And it's great that you have the ARC and that you have that support, but you are doing a phenomenal job. And for educators to just let mom know, I think it really resonated with her. And mm-hmm. I think we were all in tears at the end of the meeting, and it was amazing. And my hope would be that, you know, if mom needs any more help, we're here for her, yeah, of course, but we want to really empower families to say, I got this. And yeah, if I have a question, then I can call the ARC to support me, but I don't necessarily need them there every single time.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a very powerful story.
Yeah.
How cool. You empowered someone.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. How about you, Jill?
Well, you know, I guess this is shameless that I want to, my empowerment story or my special story that has happened since being at the ARC, but I've been able to share this information you mentioned before about coming into this being, I say we're drafted into this world of disability. So I guess for me, I kind of want to brag on my own kid, because I know that when I first met you, the thought of my son, what he would be doing for his future was one of those things that was a complete blur. So my son is now 18 years old. You met him when he was probably six, I think.
Yeah.
Right. So he's 18 years old, and he is on the autism spectrum. And he graduated this last May from Glenwood Springs High School. He is now at college at CMC in Steamboat Springs, living in a dorm. Up until this point, he's worked for 3 years. He's got more money in the bank than I will ever have. But the success is now being able to go back to parents who are just now beginning in this or in middle school or thinking about transition. And that transition is such a big conversation right now in the conversations that I'm having across the state. So it's really, really nice to be able to turn back and say, I know where you are. I know how you're feeling. And I remember looking at families or listening to families and parents and students who were going forward and thinking, am I ever going to get there? And I can say, you can get there. And this, my son is a rock star. I mean, he is doing remarkably well and still, you know, he still has his support systems, which we've been able to advocate for. And he's a really good advocate for himself now. I don't want to say what he's doing, but I know he's acting like every other freshman in high school. I mean, in college. Yes, which at least he feels free to be able to not lie and tell me those things that he's doing. So I worry a little bit being, you know, 2.5 hours away. But he's a rock star. And I feel like that transition piece of being able to share that with parents that are coming to us now and talking mm-hmm. about, you know, futures planning and what do they do when and things that I was pretty prepared. However, there are things that we missed, and so I can fill in those gaps.
Absolutely.
And so I think that in the moment is a pretty big thing in my life right now.
And I think that transition conversation, just having come from the SPED world myself, is something that I feel like should be started so much earlier mm-hmm. because parents do live with that anxiety from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's worth giving that time to deal with that earlier on, I think, and start confronting it earlier on. What are the opportunities? What are the options? And hey, did you know about these resources?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So let's hear it one more time. Maribel, can you tell us the website for donations and more information, families, and then the phone number?
Yeah, definitely. So the website is ARC, centralmountains.org, and our number is 970-456-2065.
Amazing. I'm so happy to be with you both here today, and I think, again, it's just so important that we keep lifting each other up. And one of the things I know that you're in the works with United Way right now on is finding an AmeriCorps Vista volunteer, and hopefully, I mean, aren't we all looking for one right now? That happens shortly, but I know that that's something that United Way is working with you guys to support.
I'm very, very excited. I think we're doing something pretty unique, too, because I don't mean to step out of turn, but I think that we actually are going to be sharing a Vista volunteer with Smiling Goat Ranch because we really do serve the same
population. Absolutely.
So it's because collaboration is sort of our middle name, sort of, so to speak, it's just super it's very exciting to be able to bring that together and collaborate. And yes, 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 please, 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 powers be, we get that Vista volunteer.
Yes. So to learn more, or if you're interested in learning more about becoming an AmeriCorps Vista, you can visit unitedwaybb.org. Thank you both for being with me today. It's been such a pleasure to see you and catch up with you. And don't forget, Fall Membership Drive, 970-963-0139 or kdnk.org to make a donation today. Thank you.